If you're looking to buy or sell a vehicle, AutoNation is where you want to go. They are the largest auto retailer from coast to coast.
And their friendly and knowledgeable staff here in South Florida will help you save big on huge selections of new cars, trucks, SUVs, Toyota, Honda, Chevrolet, Mercedes-Benz, and much more.
Yeah, Juice, but if you're like me and you're looking to buy pre-owned, you know, I got 186,000 miles on the Toyota right now. But if you're looking to buy pre-owned, you can shop AutoNation's huge selection of one-price pre-owned vehicles. They are all clearly marked with one price, their lowest price guaranteed.
Yeah, or if you just want to get rid of that old car, turn into cash today, get top dollar offer and a check the same day, they'll buy your car with no purchase necessary.
And if your check engine light is on, I got that going on as well. Right now, get the services you need at low AutoNation prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and more, all for less.
Call or visit AutoNation.com to schedule your appointment today.
And if you are in the market for a new car, DM us at the Fish Tank 81 on Twitter. Hopefully you're already following us at the Fish Tank 81 on Twitter, and we will get your information to an AutoNation senior manager so they can reach out to you directly and walk you through the buying process.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank Juice, episode 2 of season 2, right here on the Five Reasons Sports Network. How you doing today, man?
What's up, Big Seth?
I am doing great. I couldn't, you know, it's interesting being back in this building, Juice, but here we are at 7500 Southwest 30th Street.
Yeah, man.
Miami Dolphins training camp. Forget all the tank stuff. People are still excited about this team. If you're a true fan, you're excited one way or another, even if your expectations are a little marginalized, you're excited. And, man, I'm pumped up because we're about to have our first ever active Dolphins diving in the tank.
Well, Seth, you know what a fan I am of this team, man. I've been a fan ever since the day I stepped in Davie, Florida in 93, man. And to this day, I'm still one of the biggest fans. But it is exciting, man. We've talked to a lot of the former guys and former staff members for the Dolphins. But to have some current guys and to be back in this building, man, it's truly exciting.
It really is, man. And this is our training camp special. And it reminds me of some of, you know, I had eight training camps. How many NFL training camps? Camps to
I had nine.
So you had one more than I did. I had eight NFL training camps. My experiences were probably a little different than yours.
A little bit.
And I think back of all the different memories, man. I think of 96, my quote-unquote rookie year. You know, we had Jimmy Johnson, and we had 30, 40 media members that would show up every time. And I don't know if you remember this, but we had to build. Harvey had them build this box. It was an orange box that was about, you know, it was a cube, and it was probably like 2 feet by 2 feet. And Jimmy would stand up on
this thing on a
pedestal, and everybody would get around. But the funniest part about it, Juice, and so my job as a fucking intern was having to run and go find the box. Harvey, where's the fucking orange box? And so I have to stand there holding this orange box waiting for coach to come off practice. And he did that for his 3 years. But when he was done and Dave came in, Dave, his first year, would get on the fucking orange box. But Dave was 6'6". And Jimmy's 5'8", or whatever, 5'9". And it was like, Dave, you probably don't need to get on the orange box.
Goodness.
But one of my craziest memories of training camp was, believe it or not, it was about a 2-week stretch. I'd come in here and work out in the mornings. I'd work out with Tony Eguis, who we've had in the tank, Daryl Gardner, who we've talked about in the tank, and Brad Roll, who was the assistant strength coach with John Gamble. And those were, you could do a whole podcast on those adventures. So I would get in early, and I'd be in before Harvey, be in before Neil. I'd get my workout in, I'd shower up, and I'd just go sit at my desk and grind. Well, I'm sitting, and normally it's quiet until everybody comes in. Well, one day the door busts open, and it's Coach Johnson. Jimmy comes running in, and I'm like, oh, shit. And he goes back right towards Harvey's office. He wasn't looking for me, and Harvey wasn't there. I was like, Coach, Harvey's not in yet. He'll be in shortly. I'm like trying to cover for Harvey, even though he's not late, but if Coach is looking for you, right? And he goes, hey, come to my office. So I follow him down there. It was a little scary. And I walk in. I go, what's up, Coach? He goes, fucking Charlie Bricker. Now, I don't know if you remember Charlie Bricker. Charlie, he was a sports writer for the Sentinel, covered the Dolphins, covered tennis. Actually, he's the guy that broke the whole Dr. J story. That's a whole other thing. Charlie was kind of a gruff, old school, like if you had to do a movie about like what a writer in the 40s looked like, you know, Charlie kind of had that personality, would rub some people the wrong way. I said, well, what happened, Coach? What did he do? He goes, did you read the paper this morning? No. As a PR guy, the coach says, did you read the paper?
As a setup.
Which part? What? And so I hadn't read the fucking paper yet. And so he says,
too busy
working
out and shit.
He goes, we run that. Yeah, I was getting my swole on. I was getting my swole on down there with Big D Shorty. So no, I just hadn't looked at it yet. And he said, I was running this fake field goal. And I said, yeah, I saw it. And he goes, Well, he fucking described the whole thing. He said, you know, and so the media gets out there in training camp and fans could come out and watch. But kind of the deal, the unwritten rule is you don't detail formation. And so Charlie talked about who lined up and who the punter was at the time.
I said they're a no-brainer for Charlie.
And he turned out to the right and who he threw it to. I mean, he broke down the entire play. So Jimmy was pissed. He goes, here's what we're going to do. He goes, take this down. And so I grab a piece of paper or whatever. He goes, you listen? I said, yeah, coach, I'm listening. Due to irresponsible reporting. So already, you know, now you throw that out there. He goes, due to irresponsible reporting, all members of the media must watch practice from the stands with the general public today. Now, nowadays, they all watch practice from the stands. They built that nice, cushy press row up there on top.
Covered in fans and water.
But in the old days, you were on field level, and you could be back behind the end zones. And we still would sit there and drink our water and whatever. But you were, there was something, I think everybody felt a little special, right? You were on this side of the fence. You were close to, you could hear it. You could touch it, feel it, so to speak. Jimmy would bring you out for the middle drill out by the field. And so he said, now I want you to hang this right on the glass. All right, I'm going to call Harvey. No, you can call Harvey afterwards. Due to irresponsible reporting. And so I printed it up. I ran it back to coach. He said, bigger. And so I printed it again in a larger font. And I go and I tape it up on the press room where they would come in, the glass door. Harvey, this is what, and Harvey's like, ah. And I go, here, you can go talk to Jimmy about it. Right. I just did what he told me to do. So then the media starts showing up and they're pissed. They're pissed, Juice. It's not that the vantage point's any worse. If you've come out to training camp, you sit in those stands, it's great.
Probably a better situation.
But they had to sit there, and they all looked like kids that were in detention or in punishment, and they were just sitting there fuming. And his whole point was Bricker was going to have to answer to his peers, and they were fucking pissed off at Charlie Bricker. And that's a training camp memory I will never forget.
Oh, man, that's a good one right there, Seth. I mean, really, I mean, you just different levels of kind of like how you have to handle things as a rookie into this league. For me, you know, we already talked about before, I think last year where my luggage was lost and Stu and I talked about it. I had to wear a tuxedo to my opening
American
banquet.
Airlines hazing you.
Yeah, U.S. Air.
Oh, U.S. Air. Yeah, I'm sorry, America.
Yeah, I love them to death now. I got good buddies there that work there because they made amends since.
Yeah,
you know?
They better.
It's been really good. But I tell you, the thing I always talk about is when my first day here in Davie, when I'm out there trying to make this team and the receivers and three linebackers, one of them was Brian Cox, jumped me in the locker room.
Oh,
taped me up and threw me in a cold tub.
Yikes.
First of all, I never get in a cold tub.
You're not a cold tub guy.
No, I see guys.
You're more of a sauna after a late night guy, aren't you? Sweat it out.
Cold tub is not for me, bro. I can't do it, man. Some of these guys sitting there reading the paper, like the article that Bricker wrote, that you should have been in there reading.
I should have read it.
You should have been in there reading the articles as well. But some of them are sitting in there up to their past their waist in this 40-degree water reading the newspaper like it's nothing.
Zach was a big cold tub guy.
He was a huge cold tub guy. Now, you can just imagine, though, Seth, man. I always think about my ones and twos, man, when I get in there, man. It's agonized. You ever get in cold water, what happens to
your
manlyhood?
Well, didn't they have those sleeves? Oh, yo.
Your manlyhood. Your manlyhood, bro.
Yeah, man. I mean, I saw that Seinfeld episode.
Couldn't do it, man. So, against my will, I got tossed in this cold tub, man, and I was for reason, obviously, man. And we were 5 minutes from going to meeting. So, I was stuck. Couldn't walk.
Because you're taped up.
Everything. Hands, legs, everything. I was stuck in there. And so meeting's about to start. About 1 minute now, I'm still stuck in there. Thank goodness Troy Maurer right there next to the training room comes out. Troy, my man.
Troy bailed you out.
Came out. Cut the tape off me, man. You know me. You know me for a long time. I wasn't happy.
I was going to say.
I was so pissed, man. I walked in that
meeting. Were you screaming? Were you like in the cold tub screaming?
Man. I walked in that meeting ready to fight everybody, especially Urban Fryer. Urban Fryer was a ringleader.
Brian Cox?
Brian Cox was in another meeting. He's lucky he wasn't in our fucking meeting, man. I probably would have let him go, though. I had no chance against either one of them, Maxie's, but at least they knew I wasn't messing around, man.
And one guy's got a little more crazy in him than the other, no?
Yeah. You know what? Irvin was jacked, though.
He was
jacked. So I came in ready to fight everybody. And then Shula was in the front, like, hey, what's going on back there? What's going on? I said, man, fuck you, my coach. They want to jump me and tape me up. Who wants a one-on-one? Irvin Fryer said,
you asked for the one-on-one?
Oh, I did. Irvin Fryer said, I want a one-on-one. I said,
oh, he stood up?
Yeah, he was in my face.
Oh, shit.
Man. He said, hey. And I was like, he was coming my way. And coach said, hey, we won't have any of that. I'm like, thinking to myself, damn, thank goodness.
Coach Bell, saved by the coach.
But at least I got some street cred that day. I got street cred that day, and I'm still looking for them dudes. They're all about 60 years old now, and I'm still looking
for
them.
Now's the right time. Stuff. Hey, if you're listening to the Tank, Irvin Fryer, who wants a fucking one-on-one?
If you wanted it, one of the eight, you know I'm looking for y'all.
I didn't know that part of the story. Yeah. You said, who wants him one-on-one?
One-on-one,
that's
man.
One of the greatest lines I've ever heard.
Count me one-on-one, man. You can jump me and get me, but who wants a one-on-one?
Now, who are you hoping was going to say yes?
The kicker, man. I'm hoping Pete Sojatovich or somebody was there.
But Irvin stood up. You're like, oh, damn, this is not what I was expecting.
And I had a few more, man, but that was one of my greater, crazier moments.
That is fantastic, man. Well, I don't know that we're going to top that, especially not with guys who are still collecting a check from the team. They'll probably be a little bit more timid. But we've got an amazing lineup of active Miami Dolphin players for our first ever Fish Tank training camp special. We'll be right back.
Can't wait.
If you know the Fish Tank, then you also have to know our friends at Planet Protein.
That's right, Big Seth, and Planet Protein is back and better than ever. They're gearing up for the momentous release of their Chocolate Magic Protein Shake, now completely sugar-free and free of sugar alcohols.
But still the same great taste, Juice. And Planet Protein is locally manufactured right here in South Florida. And to top it off, the new Chocolate Magic 2-pound bags feature a wooden scoop and eco-conscious packaging to protect our beautiful oceans.
Hey, no doubt, Seth. In fact, they're so local that my man Anthony, the COO of Planet Protein, is here to tell you why their product is not just good, but good for you.
That's right. Thanks for having me. Had to come down and tell it like it is. We produce Chocolate Magic right here in South Florida with our community in mind on the inside and outside of the bag. Eco-conscious materials, only 8 real ingredients, 4 of which are superfoods, put you in the prime position to conquer your day.
So if you're ready to live a clean and ethical nutritional lifestyle, then visit planetprotein.com now. And remember to use the code FISHTANK to receive 20% off all of your Planet Protein purchases.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @planet_protein.
Bam! Juice, our first ever active Dolphin, a guy who's currently collecting a paycheck from the Miami Dolphins, dives into the tank with John Denny. What's up, John?
What's going on?
What's up, man? Welcome to the tank, baby.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. We appreciate, you know, let me first say this, that the PR staff, you know, Matt and Jason Jenkins, Renzo, they actually let us in the building. I mean, Juice, his credentials hanging up on the wall over there.
Yeah, whatever.
But they let us back in the building and said we could talk to active guys, so we're excited. And this is our training camp special, and who better to start with than the guy who has more training camps under his belt than John Denny?
Yeah.
15?
Yeah, we're going into 15 right
going
now.
Going into 15. Well, we just had JT in the tank. So your rookie year was?
2005.
Man, it's going
does
back.
Does it seem surreal that you're,
No, it doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah.
I mean,
goes
you
by
step
quick.
Out, outside the box and you look at it and you see, wow, that's been about half my life
right.
almost. I've been here with the Dolphins. And
that's crazy.
I still remember the first day walking out there in the back of that field and seeing the two Dolphins up on the back of the building and just thinking, man, this is crazy.
Yeah, was that? How was that feeling, man? Because I know it's changed over the 15 years, but that first year to now, you know, how has everything changed? And you've seen a lot of changes around here, not only from the Dolphins and the
changes.
Facility, the way it looks around here, but, you know, in general, how's that feeling from day one to day 15 times?
Yeah, no,
whatever.
No, it's definitely
Who's
changed.
Counting?
It's definitely changed. I remember coming in and walking to the locker room because the rookies, we came in our first week. The vets were gone. So you walk in the locker room and you're looking up at the nameplates on top of the lockers and you're seeing all the names that you grew up watching. You know, Junior Seau, Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor, and you're thinking, those guys for real are going to be in this room next week when we start.
This doesn't matter. These are your teammates.
I mean, for me, yeah. it was a dream.
Very cool. Well, you mentioned Jason Taylor, and we just kicked off our second season of the podcast with JT. Spent about 2 hours with us, which is shocking. I probably won't see him for another month now because of that. But we talked a little bit about you. Because Ed Perry was in JT's draft class in 97, and Ed was the long snapper until you took his job, basically. But so you got here, and JT talked about his experience, his very short-lived experience as a long snapper. But he said that when you got here, you know, you were a defensive end in college, and you still wanted to be a defensive end, and that eventually they started telling you, no, you can't go over to the individual drills, and that you would try and sneak over to the individuals.
No.
A little revisionist history?
A little clarity on that. Yes, I was trying to be a defensive end. I was never, they were, at, by the time I became a long snapper, you didn't want extra meetings.
Right.
You
didn't want extra drills.
Right.
And they were still bringing me in as an extra body for the first 2 years. You know, while Saban was still here, I was still in the defensive line meetings. I was still in the drills. And that was at their request. Once I became a long snapper, I was happy being a long snapper.
He said, you bring a pitching wedge into the bubble, and you're hitting off.
It's pure fabrication.
Right.
JT's telling lies, man.
At the time, I didn't know. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I was frustrated because my reps were getting limited. They would pull me off to the side during practices and have me snap balls. And I wasn't getting as many reps in practice, and there was some frustration there at the time, but I didn't realize that was a blessing in disguise, because I've had a career that has been amazing.
Yeah, you talk about that. Like, you know, and a lot of players, you know, they see guys come in every year, like you've had.
Right now during training camp, every guy in that locker room wants to be the long snapper.
Right, exactly right. Exactly right. I've seen young guys come in, and you send them away every year. Because, I mean, you're on point. For one, let me talk about them. I mean, your snapping's unsurpassed. We understand that. But you make plays out there too, John. You enjoy mixing up a little bit as a long snapper?
Yeah, I mean, that's one part of the defensive mindset you still get to hang on to. I mean, once you punt that ball, you're in coverage and you can go down the field and make a play. So
I love seeing 92 on the tackle. Yeah. I love it. So, okay, JT apparently didn't give us good information. Although he did say at some point, don't be frustrated because you're gonna be here longer than all of us. And clearly he was right.
Oh, yeah. No, he loved to bust my chops.
He's still doing so. But tell us about, you know, this is our training camp special. Tell us about, with 15 training camps now, and obviously this one just got underway, is there a great memory? What is kind of maybe one of the wildest or funniest stories from your training camp experience that you have had over the course of this career?
I mean, the first year really stands out. It probably does for a lot of guys, just that first year getting your foot in the door, and just the whole thing is just your head spinning. And it was nerve-wracking. I remember we had the Hall of Fame game.
That's
so
right.
So we had that extra game. You go up to Chicago, or we went up and played Chicago up in Canton. And that first game, really, I really didn't realize the difference between preseason games, between the Hall of Fame game, and between the regular season.
How could you even know?
And so to me, that was my first game. That was my first taste of the NFL. So I remember that first snap. It was a PAT, and I was so nervous. I just,
who was the holder? Who was your target?
Probably Matt Turk, I believe.
Okay.
It's so funny because I was watching, you know, when you watch the Hall of Fame game, I was thinking to myself, like, some of these guys have been doing it for a long time. Some of these guys are so damn nervous being their first game in uniform. First time putting on a professional uniform. Everybody's done in college. You know, for me, it's the first time I ever had my name on the back of my jersey.
They had my name wrong.
Did they really?
I mean, that just goes to show you the kind of respect you get.
Is that Tony? Was Tony still the equipment manager?
Yeah.
Damn, Tony Edwards.
There's two E's in Denny. It's kind of like one of those things from the, what was that movie when they, you know, he goes to the equipment manager and he's like, does it really matter? Like,
yeah. Right. Is that what it was?
We got to get Tony back in here. So Tony, remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, not the basketball player, but we had the running back Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and his first game, he had a 100-yard game, and down here, they were just craving a running back, and they had it Adbul instead of Abdul.
Right.
And then there's all these pictures because the guy had a bunch of carries, and afterwards he said that was disrespectful, and Tony was like scared because it was Jimmy Johnson's first year and the whole thing. I can't believe they messed up your name. We're going to bust Tony's
ass. Yeah, but you don't care. Like I mentioned, you're just happy to be there. I'll take any name.
Call him Smith.
Yeah, honestly.
Too funny.
Hey, and speaking of some of the different camps you've been in, you also had a lot of different coaches. Talk about like the difference in training camps with some of the coaches that you had. Easier, tougher coaches, tougher training camps.
Yeah, I've seen the entire spectrum, you know, the quieter guy, the family guy, the louder, you know, more reserved, in your face. So I've seen it all.
Yeah.
And we won't ask him to say which guy.
You won't get specific. You can tell, right?
There's a reason I'm the first guy that's an active player on this podcast.
That's right.
Right?
Set the tone. I understand. I get it. But you've seen them all. And now, have you also been, and I just had this conversation with somebody today, can't have the two-a-days now, all the different rules and changes and CBA. Have you been able to experience some of that? Coach Saban was here, could they still kick your ass out there as opposed to the way it is now?
Yeah, you were twice a day. And they were full practices. And we didn't have the bubble. The bubble didn't exist our first year.
That's right. That is the Nick Saban Memorial Bubble.
I don't think we had. There might have been one practice that was cut short from weather. And the weather hasn't changed.
And Nick was probably pissed.
So it was because of lightning. We had a lightning strike that cracked right on top of the practice field. And it was right in the middle of an offensive play.
Testing that million-dollar system they got up there, right?
It shouldn't have gotten that close, did it?
That's right.
The system works.
Guys hit the deck and
that's it.
Everybody straight in the building. It was funny because it was in the middle of a play, so they had the cameras rolling.
You could
roll that camera back and watch every guy's reaction.
Oh, man.
I mean, nobody was harmed, so you could laugh at it, but it was different guys reacting.
Scary stuff, man.
And
how quickly does that lift come down?
That's the worst place to be in for the
high point, huh?
really scary. Yeah. Well, that might be the worst place to be. Clearly, the best place to be is snapping that ball, and you've done it for a hell of a long time. I know you tried to tell me, you know, you start counting, is this year my last? I hope that you can keep it rolling, man. We love having you out there. You've been very supportive of what we do with the foundation.
Yeah, that's one thing. One thing about John you can count on, man, is showing up for charity events.
Everything.
He's been in the community, you know, and that makes him even more valuable. Just a snapper out there making plays, but such a tremendous guy in the community as well.
Yeah, man. We celebrate you for that.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Appreciate
and,
it.
And I know we got to get you back out of here, and I'm getting the look from Renzo, and I know that look because
nah,
I used to give
fine.
That look.
But, forget Renzo.
Nah, man, it's really great having you in the tank. I hope you get a chance. You got to listen to some of these. You'll have to definitely listen
to
JT's.
I've heard some of your podcasts.
Oh, cool.
Well, we had Channing on who was in your draft class.
You could have Channing on a couple more times. Yeah. You got content for days.
Yeah, we had to kick him out.
I thought JT was going to crack on me when I first came in as a rookie. I made the team, so they made the cuts. This is a story I thought he told you. And so I'm getting showered. I go in to take a shower, and when they get cut, all these lockers get freed up.
Oh, man.
And vets like to have another locker.
A couple,
another,
yeah.
You
yeah.
Know,
yeah.
An extra garage.
The Dan Marino extra locker, house, yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I go in, I take a shower, and I come out. My locker's gone. I'm thinking,
it's cleared out.
Oh. Dang, they cut you quick.
Oh, shit.
I had no idea that they were in it with Tony, and they had timed it up just right. When I had left, they got my stuff up out of there quick, but it was around the corner. I didn't realize it. I just figured
I was relocated.
I figured they had found somebody
Damn,
else.
Damn, that is quick.
That's scary, man. That's scary. I remember, you know, Zach Thomas, 96 was my first year, and Zach Thomas, the same thing. It was one day someone was there, and the next day they're gone. I said, hey, do they come down and tell? I was an intern. Did they tell you? He goes, no, man, they just disappeared.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't want to make too many friends in camp, that's for sure.
Yeah, just let me finish my shower, though.
I need my clothes in here. I need my stuff here.
Well, you now have a lot of equity built up in that real estate, in that locker. So that's really awesome, man. We greatly appreciate you being in here. Hopefully we get a chance to get you in the tank again, but not too soon, because typically we have the guys who aren't
retired.
Playing anymore.
Yeah.
So hopefully you're
five,
a few
five
years
off.
5 years
down the road, we'll get you back.
The better stories seem to come out from
that's
the
guys. Right,
the guys
that's right.
They got a
They're a
time
little bit
removed.
Looser. They're a little bit looser.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing high.
Well, and Channing ordered a beer as soon as he sat down with us, so that helped as well.
I believe it.
All right, man.
We
thanks,
appreciate
John.
You, John.
Hey,
thanks
you guys are welcome. Buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. This is Ricky J. Mark. In a world where sports radio continues to shift around the whims of corporate interests, we understand that the constant, unexpected changes can be exhausting from time to time. So that's why we think you should sit back, relax, and take 5. Reasons, that is. So go ahead, grab your smartphone, and subscribe to the 5 Reasons Sports Network, available on virtually every podcast platform. We're South Florida's fastest-growing on-demand sports media network, so you decide when you want to tune in. You decide when you want to listen. Because we know your life can be hectic, go ahead, fall in love with our lineup, including 5 on the Floor, 3 Yards Per Carry, The Fish Tank, Light-Skinned Opinions, and Cinco Razones, whenever you want. All you need is an internet connection. So go ahead, tune in, try us out. We're by Miami, for Miami, and spreading rapidly throughout South Florida.
So, man, it was great to have John Denny in here. A legend, really, in these parts, 15 seasons. But John could snap. If he was snapping to no one, it wouldn't be a real success. He probably wouldn't be here for 15 years. So one of the guys that he's getting that ball back to a lot is Matt Hawk. I'm saying it right? I had to look up the pronunciation.
Yes, sir, yeah.
How often do people butcher your name?
I mean...
On the regular?
On the regular. I mean, even from high school to college to here... I always get Hack.
Hack. I'm sure you get it a lot here. So, you know, the Hack brothers used to be the video guys. Has anybody told you that?
Uh-uh.
Dave and Bob Hack. See, you don't even know that. That's why you need old guys like us in here. Dave and Bob Hack were the video guys for 20-something years. Dave Hack forever. And then Bob was his assistant. So you're already at a disadvantage just because the Hack name.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, a little history. You can throw that at like a Joey or a Charlie, and they'll be like, oh, shit, he did his research.
That's for right.
Sure. So, he did a little research. Well, look, we greatly appreciate you being here. This is your third season, and this is our training camp special. So we don't have to talk about this training camp. I know we got a new head coach and everybody. We want to make sure that we keep Coach Flores happy. But John Denny was just telling some funny stories about his first year, his first training camp, Juice, where Jason Taylor played a trick on him, and he came back after the shower and his locker was cleared out. He thought he got cut. We just, you know, and OJ's got some great stories. I have from the PR guys. You know, I used to work for the team as a PR guy. What is maybe your best memory in 2 going on 3 training camps now here with the Dolphins?
Oh, man. To be honest, my rookie year, I think they kind of took it easy on me.
Really?
I was kind of one of those guys.
Getting soft out here, man.
I kept my mouth shut.
Smart.
I mean, I had to do the whole rookie song and everything, but just from a specialist perspective, I mean, we all kind of did our own thing and got to work every day and stuff. And I didn't get no crazy haircut or anything like that.
So. You got lucky. What
he
was the song?
He seemed like a quiet guy. He and that's does. Smart. Being a quiet guy, you
well,
know what I mean?
Well, you see, they keep sending me this. Right, right. They're right. sending in all the quiet guys, right. man. They must have listened to our show and they don't want to send anybody who might get them.
The specialists, my rookie, are kind of, I wouldn't say avoided the rookies or me or whatever, but I wouldn't say there was a whole lot of conversation even between us.
Got you.
But then I remember the day I made the team. It was John walking in the room. He's like, hey, what's up? I'm like,
all of a sudden you mattered, huh?
Yeah. So that's
funny.
I'd say that was probably, I mean, it was a shock then.
Yeah.
But I guess that was some kind of, I don't know if they gave me a silent treatment or that's just how it was. But
I think it might have been, you know, a lot of times they don't mess with you when they see what you can do on the field, you know. And I remember watching Matt punt, man, and it's like rockets, you know what I mean? And he beat out like Matt Dard. I think he beat Matt out there.
Oh, is that okay? I was going to ask who. Okay.
And I just like left footed.
Yes, sir.
That's another plus. I was a return guy. So left foot is one of the toughest punts to catch. We don't realize it because it comes a completely different way than most punters.
So did you know that? Were you right footed and changed the left? No, I'm kidding. Right.
No, actually.
Kicking like that, I doubt it.
Yeah.
No, my story is actually pretty crazy. I actually played wide receiver in high school. Didn't really punt. Going into my junior year, the punter before me was actually quarterback. My high school did the whole rollout thing. Every punt was a fake. If it wasn't there, put you down the field.
Right.
So then my year, when I got there after he left, we didn't have anybody to do that. And our coach was like, well, why don't you go try it? Turns out I just basically fake punts all day. And if it wasn't there, I would just put you down the field. Ended up going to a Jamie Coles kicking camp right before my senior year to learn how to like actually...
In case they actually ask you to punt the thing?
Straight up punt normal and not roll out. And I had no idea who he was at the time. Jamie Cole, he runs like the Under Armour All-American game for high school kids. Picks the specialists. A bunch of guys in the NFL and college work with him or through him. And ended up going there and winning the whole thing. And he was like, well, who the hell are you? I was like, I'm just here to get some tips. I'm out there in my receiver cleats. All these guys are in there.
That's hilarious. Stuff.
And all whole week journey, I traveled all over the country, but Arizona State was one of them. Ended up getting a scholarship. And
wow.
Then, yeah.
And
pretty,
now you're making a
wild.
Living.
Yeah, that Coles campus
awesome.
Is renowned. You know, for placing kids in colleges and helping with get scholarships.
Oh, man.
And then most of the kids and place kickers as well.
Just get a little research.
Yeah, they go.
I'm learning
a lot of kids that go to those Coles camps. And if you're invited at Coles camp, you're pretty special.
So how'd you get in? If you had, you know, with zero kicks, do all the fake punts.
The camp I went to is actually an Iowa State punting camp because I'm from Iowa. Drove up there one afternoon. My mom was there, but she ended up leaving the whole day because they didn't think much of it. My dad was out on work. So it was really an Iowa State camp, but Jamie was putting it on, so they brought him
got
in.
Got it.
And
then he saw something he liked, obviously.
Ended up winning it. My dad was on the phone with him till 2 in the morning because he called and was like, we can get your son a scholarship to punt in college. And me and my mom were like, man, who's
this
guy?
Awesome, man.
I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
No
wow.
way. So I wake up the next morning and my dad's like, pack a bag. We're going to Arizona State. We're going to Stanford. We're going to Miami. We're going to Notre Dame.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Dude, that is awesome. So what did you expect out of camp? Do you expect that to happen or are you just trying to get better for the next season, just get better at punting in the pocket?
Yeah, I literally had no idea what to expect. I'd never been to a punting camp. And the only reason I was there was they had a 7-on-7 camp a week before, and I ended up not being able to make it because I was going to punt for them after just to learn some stuff, and then so wasn't able to make that. So now I was like, all right, whatever, I'll sign up for the camp. Literally just trying to get some tips on how to punt normal and everything because I was all sideways and everything. And
right, from high school, the damn high school
crazy,
coach
man.
Had you sideways.
Because the day of specialists now, you got kids who are learning to kick and punt from 5 years old. So the fact that this was just a, hey, we got nobody else, so hell, we'll just throw you in. And he's doing it. He's one of 32 in the world, man, that are doing it. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it really, really did. So I want to get back to this rookie song. Did you have to sing your alma mater? Like, what was the song that you had to sing?
We got to choose.
Okay.
So I sang Ain't No Mountain High.
Nice.
So
okay.
I tried to pick a song that everyone's familiar with.
Right.
Join
so
in,
they could
you know.
Join in.
Did they join
right.
in? Did you get a little support from the guys or no?
It wasn't very good.
Were
I'm
they
not
all sitting
lie,
there on the phone? So we're not going to get some.
No. It
did you have the music
good.
In the background? You do it a cappella.
No, they don't let you.
No music.
You got to go just straight
man.
Up.
You got to sneak in the iPhone or something.
No
Channing
lyrics.
Crowder style.
No lyrics or nothing. You try to pull something out, they'll boo you right away.
Did you butcher the letter? They'll boo you. Did you get support from the specialist? they at least cheer you on, or you were really on an island?
No, I was on an island.
Sure. Like a punter out there by himself, absolutely. Right?
That's scary. That's scary. So he's a receiver too, though, Juice. We can't just call him a punter. So now, now you got one of the best long snappers on the planet. But if there's ever one he has to go for, we're going to expect you to be able to haul it in.
Well, I think it'd be nice where he can probably actually, we go to a fake and we can flank him out. He's got a one-on-one, one of these top-notch DBs in the league.
Juice is drawing it up in the dirt right now. He's drawing it up.
I can see shift, and Matt goes out to flanker. You know what I mean? I think John can still throw it a little bit to you. Whoever the holder is, they can throw. Who's holding right now?
Well, I'm the
holder. Yeah. You're the holder.
He's the holder.
Right. You're the place. Yeah,
can't throw it to himself.
Can't throw it to himself. But yeah, man, and that's part of it too, man. I always talk about this, and this is the craziest thing, Seth. Everybody talks about the long snapper and the place kicker. The middleman on extra points and field goals is the most important guy to me. I mean, especially in weather.
How hard
wet
is
weather,
it to do
cold
that?
Weather, where you got to get it, place it, spin it, tilt it.
Laces out.
How much time is it?
From snap to kick, it's about 1.2 to 1.3 seconds.
1.2 to 1.3 seconds.
Craziness. That's craziness. Did you hold in college as well?
So another thing there, went into college, never held before. We had my freshman, sophomore year, we had a backup quarterback do it, Michael Bercovici, and then he ended up starting my junior year. He went to starting quarterback. So another one of those things where
need a holder.
Extra time of practice, I would just catch some from our snapper and turn into the holder.
That's smart, though. The more you do, man.
Absolutely.
The more you do.
But how different is it catching that on one knee and having to get that down there compared to when you played receiver in high school?
I mean, John makes it easy. I mean, he's
on the money.
Good answer.
He's on the money every time. Rarely do I ever have to spin the laces.
So, how is that possible?
That's insane.
That's getting lucky, or is that no, is there a technique to that?
That's practice. That's a lot of reps.
So he knows where to start the ball to get it where.
Absolutely. So that's me and him.
That's nuts.
That's new to me.
That's some
awesome,
science
man.
Shit right there. Yeah. Bill and I. Wow.
Yeah. So if you look close, he's most likely not holding the laces like you would throw. He'll turn the ball to wherever to get the right amount of
the right amount of rotations in that 1.2 seconds for you to catch it and put it down.
Yep. And then I catch it at a certain spot, and it all ties in together.
That is sick.
We got to go get that on video at some point.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Slow-mo that.
Very cool, man.
Good stuff, man.
Well, I hope that's the wildest training camp story that you personally have in what we expect to be a long, long career. Certainly this year, right? New head coach.
Yeah.
We don't want any crazy shit happening.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, no kidding. I've been on the other side of that. So, but we wish you nothing but luck, man. It's a strange thing because we don't like to see the punter come out, right? We want touchdowns and field goals, I guess. We'd rather see him more holding than catching it. But Juice is right, man. It's fun watching you get a hold of that thing. And I can't tell you how many games I said, damn, the punter's been the best guy on the field.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. And he's not only got
which isn't a great thing to say, but it's a compliment to you.
Yeah, he's got a great average, but his hang time is sick. And like I said, being a lefty, too, it makes it tough on return guys, man. So that he's a hell of an asset for us.
So now when Juice used to return punts, you could hit the guy. They didn't protect players. So Juice would look up and
take out one of those gunners.
He'd take out those gunners pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had guys carted off the field, man.
You can't go down there with your head up like that. You gotta have your head on the swivel still, right?
They gave you too big of a target,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, way too big.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, Matt Hawk, thank you so much for coming in, man, being a part of Fish Tank.
Brother.
We wish you nothing but success this year.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Matt. Great job, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey Juice, the only thing better than looking clean is looking clean on your own time.
No doubt about it, Big Seth. And that's why I always call my man Ara at A&T Dry Cleaners anytime I need my clothes laundered or dry cleaned.
Tell him exactly why you call Ara.
Because A&T offers free pickup and delivery at your home or office, so you never have the inconvenience of trying to find time to take your dry cleaning somewhere. They bring it to you.
That's exactly right, Juice. You can walk into their Fort Lauderdale location, but A&T serves Miami-Dade, Broward, and the Southern Palm Beaches with their convenient pickup and delivery services, which also include alterations, sure pickup, and more.
And A&T is a family-owned company, and they've been in business since 1980.
1980.
Yeah, and you know what? That means customer service is their priority.
So call Ara today at 954-610-9383. That's his personal cell we're giving you. Or you can visit drycleanertoyou.com to start making your life and your dry cleaning a lot easier.
And make sure you tell them that the Fish Tank sent you, because Ara, my man, is giving our listeners 50% off your first order.
How much?
50. Half, Seth. Half. And 25% off any dry cleaning services after that.
A&T Dry Cleaning, the official dry cleaners of the Fish Tank.
All right, Big Seth, finally, we hit the right position for training camp.
Well, Matt kind of said he used to be a receiver.
Yeah.
You're not buying it?
No, he's a punter now. You know, he's making his money.
You want to hear that shit. You're not catching the ball, Matt, except the kicker. Okay,
I know. Sometimes they don't even consider those guys part of the team. So
he kind of indicated that.
Yeah, but I'm going to let him slide, man.
He was great, man. He was a good guy.
But now, let's bring in the best position in football.
Okay.
The wide receiver position.
Who would have guessed?
And a local cat from the U, as well as Carroll City.
Carroll City, man, pride of Miami Gardens.
That's right. Alan Hearns, man. Welcome to the tank, man. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Great
man.
To have you, man. Yeah. So normally we get all the retired guys who, you know, there's a special place in our heart for those guys. But finally we convinced the team to let us in. We hope after this they let us back, man.
Yeah,
it's good to finally sit down with a guy who we get to cheer for this year. So we're excited, man. And as I said before we got on, this is our training camp special, first time we've ever done this, and we have our own training camp experiences. Mine from a PR guy, not quite as exciting as maybe OJ's getting taped to the goalposts.
Yeah, I got taped up throwing the cold tub.
Thrown in the cold tub.
My buddy, dudes, it was chilly.
Yeah, he gets a little. We won't go too deep into that because he gets a little upset.
Yeah, I still want to fight. I'm still ready to fight.
He's still trying to fight somebody. But so you've been, this is your third NFL team. We don't have to focus too. It's too early in camp now, and plus we get it. Everybody's fighting for jobs and the whole thing.
Right.
But so we've had Jacksonville, mm-hmm. we've had Dallas. So what head coaches have you worked under in training camp so far?
So far I've worked with Jason Garrett, Gus Bradley, and also Doug Marrone.
Okay,
and being him Flo. It's been a lot different, coaches do things differently. One of the things I can say that's different as far as being here, you do a lot before you get the team periods, so they emphasize on all the little things with special teams, taking care of the ball security, everything like that, so.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different for me as far as when I was went to the Cowboys, it was more so they emphasize on team periods, you kind of do a little bit of individual things like that, you get straight to it. Whereas here, it'd be like an hour into practice and you're just not getting to team periods, But that's good too, especially for a receiver standpoint, you make sure you're warmed up before you actually get going in the team periods.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I like it a lot.
Isn't that, it's kind of like you think about it and you wonder how New England's been so successful.
Right.
And you see that how well they take care of the little things and
right.
how important it has become. And I'm surprised more teams don't do that, trying to take that format. But it's interesting to hear you say, coming from a couple of different camps, that that's the first time he really emphasized it that way and moving forward into practice.
Sixth NFL season, yeah. And he's finally, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's deep, and like you said, you see how New England, how productive they are, it's just being on a little details and everybody on the same page, whereas you get to a situation as far as like a two-minute situation, okay, I'm in this situation, I got to get down, get off the field, or this one, we're in a clock situation. We going over those situations daily. So it just becomes second nature.
Does that mean, you just said that and it just registered with me. Working under Coach Flo now, do you sometimes say like, that's why these fuckers win all the time, because they pay attention? Like, does that go through your head a little bit when you're out there, when they're paying that much attention to
Yeah, no doubt. Especially being a football player, everything comes down to details, So I'm just seeing how much they emphasize the little things, it shows that coming from New England, and those guys, they win a lot of games, people always talk about how much discipline they are, so when you're on a team like that, that's going to get you more wins just by being disciplined and knowing situations and things like that. Of course, it comes down to talent and, executing, but when you're on the details, that eliminate half of the problems.
Let's talk about a little bit about, some of the camps you've been to. I know you grew up down here, you went to the U. A little different weather down here.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
You've been to some different camps where the weather probably wasn't that. I remember, let me just go back. My buddy Lamar Thomas went to the U.
Gotcha.
So obviously he
you know, LT?
LT, yeah.
He was used to the weather down here, right? But then he came down here from Tampa, and the weather wasn't the same again.
Yeah,
Even though he was down there forever, it's still different weather. How has that been for you adapting to that? Have you experienced that Miami heat again like you did when you were going to school here? Because it's a little different everywhere else.
For sure it's different. The first 3 days, I was gassed, especially for me. I worked out a lot in the offseason as well. But there's no way you could implement a practice. I worked out down here at Bomberitos, but especially coming from Dallas, we do our training camp in California. You get a nice breeze.
Vacation.
A hot day there is like 80, coming back to this heat, it's for sure. It could be an advantage for us. Also, you got to make sure you take care of your body, as far as getting electrolytes back in your body and things like that, but we can use it to our advantage come season time. I know, especially playing in college, we had a couple of teams come down to us, we played NC State. we got like 3 touchdowns just because the defensive line jumping off sides and the corners not trying to chase us. They was gashed, yeah. You know, so yeah. We could for sure use that to our advantage.
Man, I came down here in college, man, and they had the nerve to announce the temperature is 93 degrees. And we're coming from like 71 in Pennsylvania. I'm like, oh, we're going to die out here, man.
Humid, too.
I wasn't even taking into account the humidity.
And we could have had it. They could have made it a night game. It was UM versus Penn State. It's like a top 5 game. Right, right. They made us play at noon, of course, man.
Every advantage you could get. Damn, right. You know that.
Damn right.
Got every advantage.
Let's talk about the wide receiver position a little bit. You know, I think you're a hell of an addition to a really good position on this football team and a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things on the field. What have you seen and how fast have you picked up the system and are you getting the good reps that you want to get right now?
Yeah, no doubt. It's picking up really good for me. You know, the first 2 days, you know, I was like, man, this offense is complex, you know. Yeah. But, you know, as you get more repetition with it, you know, it just throw you out there and you learn from other people's mistakes as well. You know, that's my main thing. You know, if I'm not getting a rep, I'm saying like, okay, what he did wrong here or what he did right. You know, but it's been good for me, especially being in the receiver room. It's no big egos. You know, everybody come in and work. You know, I love being a part of a group like that, especially we got a lot of depth and a lot of guys do a lot of different things, you know, as far as, you know.
Real versatile.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of versatile, a lot of guys, you know, as far as you got Vontae, a bigger body guy. You know, you got Kenny, a speed, you know, a route runner, things like that. And man, it's a lot of us that's doing a lot of great things, you know. So coming in each and every day, you know, it's competitive, you know, it's not – We going against each other, you know, but we pushing each other to get the best out of each other. Or you see Devontae make a play, you're like, okay, I got to get one.
My turn.
You
feel me?
Yeah, so it brings out the best each and every day. We got guys that come in and work.
He said, he called Devontae a big. He's not a little guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, he walked in.
Over 200 pounds. That's a big receiver. You look at me, I'm 5'10 and a half, Seth.
And
look
a half.
At
me like yeah, that. We got that. Like
that. And I played it like 185 plus. But, you know, he's a big receiver with speed and hands. And that new receiver, man, that's the new receiver nowadays. Man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what's up. I like it, man. I'm glad I played when I played it. Yeah.
Everybody's bigger,
I might be playing baseball instead of football.
I don't know. I think that football's still in you, although you did like both. So let's get back to the training camp story. So John Denny talked about a veteran hid his – he went to take a shower and came back and thought he got cut because his locker was cleaned out. And Matt basically got the cold shoulder.
Yeah, he was
He had to sing his rookie song, but he got the cold shoulder. Yeah. I guess somebody must have known that he was about to take their job.
Right, well, right.
Give us, and it doesn't have to be your rookie year unless it was, but is there one memory that you'll never forget from a training camp experience now in your 6th NFL training camp? Is there anything that stands out that you're like, damn, I just never thought something like that was going to happen?
Far as for me, no. You know, I seen it in college. You know, it was one time where the vets were trying to get this rookie receiver to do something. He was like, nah, I'm not gonna do it or whatever. So it's like right before practice they threw all his stuff like in the cold tub, helmet, everything. So he's looking for everything. He ran out late, you know, he got in trouble. But at the end of the day, you know, when I got to the NFL, you know, that's when, you know, it became a big deal where they kind of stopped the hazing thing. So it's pretty much, yeah, they kind of got soft. So
yeah, we ruined that.
I got saved with that.
We ruined that down
Miami,
here.
Yeah.
Somehow it always comes back home, doesn't it?
Always.
I remember you even saying, so when my first year was, as I told you earlier, 96, I don't even want to ask what you were in 1996. It was Jimmy Johnson's first year here. And OJ is like, damn, because Jimmy didn't, he knew he was going to turn over the roster and there was going to be a lot of young guys.
Right.
And so he didn't want too much hazing because he was trying to count on those young guys. And you were like, damn, this is soft. This is fucking part of the deal.
Yeah, he said, leave my rookies alone. I said, what the hell you mean, man? They are rookies. They ain't your rookies.
Right,
those
right,
are
right,
rookies,
right.
Man. Yeah.
So it's even changed since then. But now, yeah. So you're saying that they're just, isn't even a whole lot of that.
Yeah,
anymore.
Not much at all.
What about the heat? So here's one that we were talking about earlier. You know, Sam Madison, legendary cornerback here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you being a Miami guy, so you cheered for a lot of these guys.
Sure.
But Sam was doing a live shot one time, and you talk about this heat down here, and he was doing a live shot with Joe Rose on NBC6, and I'm watching it on TV, and I'm watching it as the PR guy, and all of a sudden Sam just drops out of the live shot. He friggin' he locked up, man.
Right, right.
Both legs, he got in cramp, locked up. He's down there, and Joe's standing there, and he's like, all right, well, he kept the interview going, and they had to send the trainers out and damn near wheel them off and throw the IV in them.
Man, it's brutal. You know, people don't understand the heat down here, you know, especially with it being so humid. You know, so far as I was in Dallas, you know, Dallas get hot. you know, but it's a difference. There's dry heat there, you know, but, you know, so working out wise, you know, even like just going to the car, you're sweating, you know, yeah. As far as the Dallas is just dry, you know, but also, you know, it's a difference, you know, too, like working out wise, you know, like I said, you got to make sure you get your electrolytes, you know, you're drinking a lot of water, because if you're not, your body going to crap up. It's just part of being
take care
here
of the body.
Heat. Yeah, for sure.
Makes sense.
I think that's important, Seth, that our team is ready to go, because other teams, like Alan said, cannot handle this. And we haven't taken advantage of it in September, early October.
Got to
when
early
that
on.
Hot. We
got to
take advantage of that.
Because they're going to try and freeze us out in November
and
December.
You know they are. You know they are. Buffalo is going to be cold as hell.
No heat in the locker room. How many times do you get that
oh,
one?
Oh, man. Cold shower.
Right.
They dirty
oh,
like
man.
That.
Yeah, they are. Like
that.
Yeah.
They're going to get you with it. So the last thing I'll leave you with, Alan, and we had a guy by the name of Calvin Jackson. He was a safety here. I don't know if you – Calvin played at Dillard High School. I know you were a Dade guy, Broward guy, the whole thing. But, you know, it was the concept of sometimes playing at home isn't – so I'm sure it's exciting to come home and play for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, it could be good or it could be bad depending on your, you know, experience and how many people all of a sudden want tickets to the game and how many people can reach out to you. Calvin said that the guys that grew up in the neighborhood took care of him, you know, that they wanted to keep him out of trouble because they knew where the trouble was.
For sure.
It may be too early to have that conversation with you, but are you looking forward to playing at home or do you kind of, you know, are you weighing both sides of that?
I'm looking forward to playing home. You know, as far as coming out, after college, I said I didn't want to play here, you know, just because I've been in Miami my whole life. I wanted to experience something new, you know. But now, you know, I'm excited to come back. But I'm glad you said that. And I hope everybody's watching because we do not get free tickets. You know?
That's right.
No free tickets, man.
Right. So I'm excited about that, you know. But just being back home is nothing like being back home, you know. Just have a lot of fan base, you know, your family and friends, you know, come watch you. They can get the tickets. But
That's it.
So.
The rest of them got to go to the box office.
Speaking of the ticket situation, and again, 305 guy. So Trick Daddy, who's been on this show, he's been in the tank, huge Dolphins fan. Trick reached out to me. His birthday's coming up. I guess we're playing in Dallas. And so he wants tickets to the game. He called us. I'm like, Trick, like somebody's got to pay me these fucking tickets. Like
right,
I don't know
right,
if you.
Right.
So I got to get back to Trick on that. But if you got any connects in Dallas from your days there, we might have to make that all connect that way. Alan, it was great to meet you, man. We're excited to have you here in South Florida and really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was good.
Hey, welcome home, big dog.
Appreciate it.
Need custom t-shirts made?
What about logo giveaways for trade shows or parties?
Wizard Creations will put your logo on anything and everything. So you got to find them at wizardcreations.com.
Yeah, the lowest prices around, best services available. Wizard puts your logo on everything.
And they really do, Juice. Luke Freeman, who is the wizard at Wizard, is an amazing guy. And if you have something that needs to be branded, Luke is the guy who will get it done. He's done our fish tank shirts that everybody's been asking for. We've worked with him at the Jason Taylor Foundation for years. There's nobody better than Luke Freeman and Wizard Creations.
Yeah, so for all your custom merch needs, call our friends at Wizard Creations at 888-217-4084. That's 888-217-4084. Also, check them out at wizardcreations.com.
And when you do that, Luke said use the code FISHTANK. He's going to give you free setup and 10% off your first order. Free setup, 10% off. You're going to save some money and get great branded product. Wizardcreations.com. So, Juice, we know that we went with your favorite position. So, I think you set this up with Renzo first.
You know it.
So, we went with your favorite position. We had a receiver. Alan was great. But we had to finish up at home. Huh? I had to go Cleveland on him.
Had to go hometown, man. Cleveland, Ohio, the best state in the country, as we know. And Cleveland, the best city in Ohio.
You're going to have a tough time selling that one.
You know what, though?
But they'll like this guy.
The people that talk about Cleveland ain't been to Cleveland, man.
Right. Yeah, well, some of them haven't. But Jerome Baker, man, welcome to the tank.
Oh, it's good to be here. Good to be here.
What's up, Bake?
How you doing?
Good, man. Welcome to the tank, man. Everything good so far in training camp. I know second year in, you know, different coach.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your rookie year. Compared to what's going on in your second year in the league?
My rookie year, you know, I was just trying to get by, just trying to not do the wrong thing, just trying to show I was, you know, I belong there. This year is, I'm really just focused on getting better, getting prepared for the season. I actually know what to expect this year, so just getting ready for myself, not really just trying to survive.
That's good to see because, you know, we need you to do more than just survive.
Right.
You see this guy run, man?
Man. Come on, man. It's Ohio boy.
The wheel. Oh, there Ohio we go. That Ohio. Yeah, but everybody, I know some Ohio guys didn't have speed like
watch
that.
Watch yourself. Be careful. Everybody talks about there's no speed in Ohio, but that's a lie.
Man, this guy moves. I saw the first time, I'm not just saying it because you're sitting here, but I was first time I saw, you're trying to figure out, learning the roster, the whole thing. This dude flies across the screen. I'm like, wait a minute, he was wearing a 50. He wasn't wearing a 20.
Right. Man. I think that's that Buckeye influence too, man. Buckeyes, they do a great job of putting guys in the league. Him and Mac are going to be controlling that linebacker position, running sideline to sideline, making plays, man. But, that's a good job of our staff getting guys like Bake in from these programs that have been successful, but play with a lot of speed, a lot of passing, and physical as hell.
I mean, is speed where it starts with you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I pride myself on speed. I mean, if you're going back to Buckeyes, it all started with, Shazier. Yeah. Got down to D-Lee, and, it's my turn just to do my thing. So it's just that Buckeye line.
Yeah. Before that, I like this about it, Seth. And before that, he went to Benedictine in Cleveland, Ohio.
Here we go with the Cleveland stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah. One of the great high schools athletically. I know they also have a great wrestling program as well, right?
Yes, yes.
Where is that? Is that east side or west side?
That's the east side.
Okay. Yep. Yes. I lived in the east side. Yeah. I worked for the Cavaliers. I did an internship for the Cavs. I lived on, was it Green Road and Euclid, right there at the top of the hill.
Exactly,
so I don't know, but I have no idea where these schools are. And
yeah. And he actually got, he won a state championship your senior year.
Yeah, my senior year.
Oh, man.
State championship, which is nice. But then
somebody did his research.
But you're originally committed to Florida, right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I wanted to go to Florida.
I get it.
Oh, you held that. Wait a minute.
Alma mater.
All right, I
wanted to go to Florida. It was the SEC. They was winning the national championship year after year after year.
Exactly.
And me, I just wanted to play against the best. So at the time, SEC was the best.
Yeah. Yeah. We beat the Ohio State for one of those national championships, too.
I don't know about
that. One in basketball and one in football.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
That was years
ago. So who was the coach? Who was recruiting at Florida that blew it?
it was actually Coach Durkin and Coach Muschamp. They just end up getting fired that year. So I just end up staying home. Yeah.
That's a bad start in the recruiting trail.
That sounds like how I went to Penn State instead of Ohio State.
I thought, you told me the whole romantic story about the handwritten letter from Joe Pa.
That's part of it.
But somebody got fired.
Yeah, Earl Bruce got fired.
Oh.
I still got Joe Pa. I went there my eighth grade year with a close friend. I still got his autograph up my wall.
How do we lose?
So we both lost on this deal. I mean, you're repping Ohio, but truly, we both lost on this deal. But we won as Dolphins fans.
We did. Bottom
so
line.
We're excited to have you here. And this has been our training camp special. And we had the specialists in early. I see Renzo is a veteran PR guy here, the way he stacked the deck in this deal.
Yeah, perfect.
And those guys, the stories were a little slower. And then we had, somebody had to sing the rookie song. And although Alan said that, they don't even let them haze the guys that much anymore.
No.
But do you have any great memories from last year's training camp? I mean, I'm sure it was all just a whirlwind.
Well, my greatest memory wasn't even about me. Last year, we had a guy come in. He had dreads. He'd been growing it for like 70 years.
Oh, no.
And he was from Cleveland. He went to Notre Dame College.
So who was it? Who was the player?
I forgot his name.
All right, we'll look it up. We'll look it up. But we'll cut that out.
I ran him off.
Yeah, so he had dreads.
Clearly,
his dreads was long. It was like 7 years. He'd been growing it for 7 years.
Oh, man.
And he had a bet with when we had Jordan here, is he faster than him? And they gave him a head start, too.
He got a head start and lost?
And he lost. And after that practice, I still got the videos. Everybody in the whole team came to the locker room, and it was a bet. It wasn't hazing. It was just
you got a little.
No, he put it out there. He offered it up. He walked into it.
The vets, they all put money up. It was like that was real money, like $1,000 each person. So
Monopoly money. They're not really betting like that in NFL locker rooms, man. Wow. So he put his hair on the line, and they gave him a head start. What position did he play?
D-line.
He was a D-lineman.
Yeah.
And he
lost. What was the distance on that race?
I want to say it was like 40 yards.
40?
Like,
he got beat. He got a head start.
It was
from
the locker room to the
training room. It was how long he just grew his hair and finally cut it off. It was definitely funny, but.
Now, who cut it off? Who got to actually cut his hair?
The vets. The vets got different pieces. Yeah,
like so cutting the nets down on the championship.
How did he handle it? They get the ladder out. How did he handle it?
He took it like a champ, and they cut it in a style where he had to wear it, and it was definitely bad.
Bad, oh, man.
You got video of this?
Yeah, I still got the videos. It's still on my phone.
Oh, man, we got to find
I'm glad I came in with a low fade right away, man. Usually those guys start with that big buzz right down the middle, the reverse mohawk thing, just to get it started, and you really got to start cleaning up after that. So they didn't do anything to you, obviously. A lot of times, I'm going to tell you this. We had some guys in the locker room that, even as rookies, you just didn't even fuck with him. Just don't mess with him, man. It's like that dude right there, Tim Bowens and dudes like, just don't mess with him, man.
They found out quick with Tim Bowens.
Yeah, they don't. We had a receiver, Yatil Green, with the UM.
That's a great story.
We had one receiver mess with him. He made a rookie mistake of ordering his equipment or his extra stuff from Nike into the locker room. So he was in the training room and people was going through his box.
Now, Yatil was kind of on the front end of the big receiver. Because the guys were
big
the,
and fast.
You know
and
how
strong.
The league changes and go through these shifts. So they were, I don't want to say little guys, but smaller guys in your era.
Yep.
Right? But Yatil was like, yo.
He was yoked and can run. He's a 4-3 guy, low 4-3 guy, 6'2", 3", just a big receiver, man. And obviously tough as hell.
He was a country boy, too.
Yeah, my boy Charles Jordan, he's tough as hell. So we went through his boxes, and he came back out of the training room. He said, yo, I want all my shit back in my box immediately, right? And I'm like, oh, I got a T-shirt. I put it right back. You know what I mean? Everybody started putting stuff back.
He was a rook.
He's a rook. My boy CJ's like, nah, man, he's a rookie. The hell with that. The hell with that. So and the Teal Tone will meet me in the back. So they went back by the pool, right?
Yeah.
Next thing I come back, your Teal's yoked sweat. He's like jacked up and stuff. And he said, I told him, Juice. CJ comes limping into the locker room because your Teal took him back there and warm out a little bit. So, yeah, we don't mess with some rookies. And I think you'd be that rookie that people wouldn't mess with.
My actual rookie experience, it came at the end of the season. You know, we had the rookie dinner.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I thought we had an understanding, you know, all the rookies of we're not going, the defensive rookies, we're not going. So we all just decided, like, we're not going today. We're not going. So I thought we all said we're not going. So it was about we
you
had
were
to
led
be
to
there.
Believe this was a collective.
Yeah,
effort.
I'm thinking like, we all not gonna go. I'm for sure not gonna go. I put my phone down the stairs. Anybody that called me is not coming. So it got around like 8 o'clock. I remember Raekwon called me.
Your teammate, your buddy.
Yeah, so I didn't answer. So he texted me. He was like, "Where you at?" I'm like, "I'm at home."
Where are you at?
So he was like, "Yeah, I'm at the dinner." I'm like, "Oh, all right." Well, so long story short, some of the rookies, I'm not going to put them out there like that, but they end up going to the dinner, and you know they had to all split the bill. So that next day, that's when we was playing Buffalo.
Oh, so you didn't run over and go. You was like, I'm not going.
I stuck to my guns. I'm not going.
Okay.
Worst mistake of my life.
Oh.
So that next day, we was going to Buffalo. I had my bags packed. I was ready to go, you know, all of that. At the time, I had this nice Supreme bag. If you know about Supreme, I pay a lot of money for that
he
bag.
He looked at you. He didn't look at me. Clearly, I didn't.
So I put my keys in there. I put my garage opener in there. I put all my clothes in there.
Oh, shit.
So we went to meetings. I came out. My bag's gone. At this point, when I first got to practice, everybody was like, why you didn't show up? I'm like, I thought, you know, we wasn't going, but whatever. So when I'm thinking like, all right, my bag's not here. I know one of the vets got it. Who has it? And I started thinking like, it's no way I'm going to find out who has it. So I went to Drew. I'm like, can you find out who got it? If you show me who got it, I can get it back.
Oh, you went to Drew. So head of security.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I don't know if Drew was up to it. Nobody can find my bag on the video, whatever.
If Drew couldn't find it, then he was in on it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, okay,
I'm sticking to that.
That's fine. So I'm like, you know, it's just a bag. That's the least of my worries. At least I didn't have to pay for no grown men dinner. Fine, whatever. So I didn't pay for the dinner, whatever. So we go to Buffalo after the game. Well, we play the whole game. Fine. I come back to my locker. I have two phones. So one of my phones is gone. I'm like, all right, now we're getting a little too much. Now I'm wondering, like, where's my phone at? Literally nobody say anything. Like, it's...
You got your bag. You got to be like, happy with your bag.
You know
huh?
what? It's even better because the phone I had, it was older. So the next day, I'm like, we're in the NFL. I can go get another one. Got another one. And it was the end of the season. So I avoided a lot of the different, you know, troubles I had with the vets. But I didn't go to rookie dinner. And,
right. Did you ever get the bag back?
No, I still don't know. Still my bag.
Now, what was cheaper? Your portion of that dinner would have been or buying the new phone. Did we figure that out?
Buying a new phone. It was only like $300.
Right.
It was.
Oh damn.
I did.
Where did they go to dinner?
I don't even know. I didn't care because I wasn't going. Right. But
the principle of the matter. Principality.
But principality. Yeah, I didn't go to the rookie dinner and I got my phone and my bag took. So that's all good.
All right, not bad. He had a good season. Yeah. He had a good rookie season.
That's like a real story.
And you know what? And the more you ball out, the less they mess with you, man. That's
true.
What they start doing.
That's
you know
interesting.
What I mean?
They did it at the end of the year, man. I remember being invited to the DB night out.
This was
Jamar Fletcher's rookie year. And Sam Madison, this is back when they had, what was that place out on the water? Jackson's or whatever. And I'm like, man, I'm looking at the menu and these prices. Sam's like, no, we got it.
Burton Jacks.
Yeah. Hey, get the serving. You like lobster? Get the surfing turf and eat that. And I'm like, Sam, are you sure, man? Man, I really, we got you. And everybody's ordering all the DB. And I'm like, man, I'm part of the game. And I mean, like $70 meal and the whole thing. Man, that bill came. They handed it to Fletch. Yeah. Ooh, he was not happy.
No.
He was not happy. But that was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, some of them dudes get the go orders, too. And shit. Like,
yeah, I heard a lot of stories about that.
Yeah, I guess they've changed a lot of that these days. It's probably a good thing, though. You shouldn't be taking people's money. That's a little too much.
So let's talk a little bit about Coach Flo's training camp so far. How's it been so far? The new nuances.
You see, straightened up, and the
way the defense is looking. I mean, I'm excited about some of the things that he might bring over from New England that we can use with our speedy linebackers like yourself and some of the packages that we can put together out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. No specifics, but how are you enjoying the new defense?
Honestly, I love it. I love every bit of it. Just the cool thing about his defense, anybody can play in it. If you can play ball, he'll find a way to get you on the field. So that's pretty much what I appreciate about his defense. You can cover. If you can cover, he's going to put you out there. If you can rush the pass, he's going to put you out there. No matter what you do, he can put you out there.
So you're planning on being out there a lot then, it sounds like.
Yeah. whatever he asks me to do, I just go out there and do the best of my ability and just honestly, I just like having fun in this defense.
Yeah.
There's no set rules. It's kind of just go out there and play. So it's definitely cool.
I remember looking out there sometimes, and I always refer to New England because I see Coach Flo and what he did with that defense. You can see like six linebackers like standing up. You're like, you don't even know what the hell. How do you know who to block? You know, as a receiver, who do I know? Who am I hot off of here? You know what? It's so much confusion with that. But like you said, if you can go out there and play it, all these guys know their assignments. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that defense. I think the defense is going to carry us for the most part, like most teams. You know, most teams win with really good defense, and the offense is there for the show. So I'm excited about that.
It's interesting to hear from an offensive player.
I know where my bread is buttered, man.
Yeah.
You know, I remember coming off the field, man. I think we had the record number of 3-and-outs my last year. So I tried to become a defensive guy. Those are more of my cats. Right
Coach Wants that did say there's nothing wrong with punting.
Yeah,
I remember he did say that. So, you know, I am excited to see what Jerome brings to the field this year. But I also want to talk about off the field for a minute because I got a chance to spend some time. And you came for the Dolphins Business Combine. Yeah. In my day job with the Jason Taylor Foundation, Jerome came out. Now, I did learn, you know we have the poetry program, Juice.
Yeah.
He talks about the phone. I don't know which phone got taken, but he has some secret poems up in one of those phones.
Yeah.
So we're going to get Jerome out at an open mic once. He talked about wanting to do that, and we're looking forward. I know you've been in touch with Epiphany from the crew. But you also shared with me kind of your long-term vision of what you want to start and give back to the community and the relationship you had with your father and playing with guys who maybe didn't have that and how you wanted to be able to offer that to young people. And I just thought that was fascinating. It's really not what we typically talk about the show, but it was really special to hear from a young guy. And you know, maybe you can fill Juice in on some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, just Cleveland is just my hometown. Cleveland is very close to my heart. And, you know, growing up, I was blessed to have an amazing father always there. Every step of the way, from all my friends come over to the house and he cooks us all breakfast and cooks us all dinner, and just being there as a father figure in my life, not just in my life, well, the community. He started his own organization. I was about 7 years old, something like that. So I kind of just took that and ran with it. I wanted to create my own organization. I got one now, Expanding Land, and just want to be in the community as far as like, you have a father figure out there or a program where you can go and really lean on and really help guide you and pretty much anything you want to do. I didn't want to have to be, I just want to have a camp or something like that. I want to be, if you want to be an art student, well, we're going to help you any way we can. That's an internship or college, whatever it is, we just want to help you in whatever you want to do. So that's kind of been my vision of Cleveland. Of, you know, Cleveland always get that bad rep of, you know, just violence and none of all of that. But well, Cleveland, if we all stick together, it could be, well, it is the best city
that's
in
right.
the country.
That's right, man. I love that, man. And Bake, you've shown it since day one here, man. You've been in the community here as well, you know, and you get it. Some guys just don't get it, man. Not only are you in the league, you know, it's a hell of a responsibility, but it's also a hell of a responsibility to be in a community like you are, man. I'm proud of you for that, bro.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I couldn't pass that up, man. It was really, really special to hear from a first-year guy. So I can just, you know, again, watching you on the field and seeing what you do off the field, I'm really excited about what's to come from Jerome Baker.
Thank you.
And that story, man, between the dreads and him missing the dinner. You know, I'm glad that Renzo – I got to give it to Renzo, man. He stacked the deck the right way.
Yeah.
Either that or you just pulled that vet move and you sat in the training room. You learn from somebody. But really appreciate you being a part of the tank. Typically, we get the veteran guys or guys who have retired. It's nice to get some active players, man, and we look forward to seeing what you do this season.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for diving in, man.
Appreciate it.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one stop for all things Miami Dolphins. With news, commentary, video, interviews, and the Webby Award-winning DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast, DolphinsTalk.com has you covered on all of the latest happenings surrounding the Miami Dolphins. Whether it's training camp, the draft, free agency, or the current Miami Dolphins season, DolphinsTalk.com has it covered. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to visit the website DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. That's DolphinsTalk.com.
Man, how much fun was that?
Oh, man. Seth, you know what, man? It's so much fun to be back in the building, but I do not envy those guys out there on that hot-ass field.
I don't either. Now, you guys had to wear the equipment and stuff. I had to stand there in long pants because Harvey wouldn't fucking let us wear shorts out there. But, yeah, I don't miss that part of training camp at all, but I do miss the stories.
Yeah, you know, and there's a couple guys, you know, John Denny and Matt Hawk, who probably has an easier training camp. But you look at Allen Hurns and Jerome Baker, they're really going through it.
They're grinding. Yeah. They're grinding out there. But it's hot for everybody, even though they were in the bubble today. But it's good that, you know, some of those guys loosened up a little bit more than others. We understand there's a new head coach. Everybody's trying to make the team. Even a 15-year vet is trying to make the team. But it was fun to hear those guys loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, man, because I know, you know, I recall, like I talked about, some of the stories that I had when I was coming in as a rookie all the way up to when I was a little bit older, you know, as a player. And these guys are experiencing all that all over again, man. It's a little more tame now than it was when I played.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing,
not
man.
Not too bad. Disappointing,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, fucking incognito. Messed up everything. Golly. So, well, a lot of fun, man. A great way to just, you know, JT was incredible as our season opener. But it was nice to get in front of some of the active guys, man. As much as I enjoy what we do on the regular, it was cool to see some of these younger guys. Well, most of them are younger guys.
Yeah, right? John appreciates that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, so we'll call him a younger guy too, man. And what I really look forward to is if once those guys do retire, long down the line, getting them back in the tank and seeing if the stories, if they open up even a little bit.
I think
more.
The stories have changed just a little bit.
Just a little bit. They don't have that fear of getting that paycheck. Well, great stuff, man. Always fun to be here with you, Juice. And of course, DJ Preach holding it together. He brought the video in time too, man. He went next level.
Yeah, we are looking.
Got his Spielberg on.
We are official, man. Big thanks to the Dolphins, of course.
Yeah, man. I hope that we didn't do anything where Renzo ran up and Matt and Jason won't let us back in the building. But hopefully we get another chance to get some of these active guys.
That's right, man.
All right, we'll catch everybody next week.
Thanks for diving in.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolphins, number one, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank, go get your aqua orange, yeah it's time to dive up in that fish tank, it's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank, rocking with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we okay, got the devil for them diehards. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tales, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. In that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rapping with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank. Dolphins with attitude, we about to dive up in that fish tank.